My first rule is, you should start small except you have done it before. Start small except you have done it before. So if you've done it before, you can start big. And let me explain, right? You see, experience and expertise, knowledge and experience are very underrated in business. Sometimes you see a business from the outside and it looks very simple to you. It looks like, oh, this guy is not doing anything special. This lady is not doing anything creative. I can do this business too. Then you go start that business in a big way. And then the harsh reality hits you right smack in the face, right? People tend to underrate the value of experience in business, the value of knowledge in business. There are some things you don't know, some little things you may not know in some businesses that can totally mess you up. They would lead to major loss of capital. They will lead to you losing your shirt. Just one small piece of information, right? So, but that's a benefit that people who have done it before have. They've done it before.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode is about the benefits, the big benefits of starting small in business. This might not sound like an exciting or sexy topic, but I want you to pay very, very close attention to the things I'm going to be saying in this episode, because some of the fundamental flaws that happen in business happen in the beginning of the business, right? And the problem is, as you progress in the business, after you've already made these errors, these fatal flaws, these mistakes, it becomes difficult to correct these mistakes later on in the business. It's like trying to build a house when you have a faulty foundation, right? It doesn't matter what you build. It doesn't matter what the superstructure is. It doesn't matter if you build a palace or a warehouse, right? If the foundation is faulty, you have to bring the whole thing down sometimes to be able to rectify that fault. That's why the foundation is a very delicate and important part of the building process. The same thing happens in business. If you make the wrong decisions, if you take the wrong turns, if you make the wrong choices as you start the business, these things are going to haunt you later on. And one of those big mistakes that people make when they are trying to start a business is this whole myth or this whole trend or craze or starting big, right? So the question is it better to start small or start big in business? Now, starting big is more popular, is more visible, is more interesting. That's what most people want to do, because when we have dreams, if we have business ideas, we always have big dreams, big ideas. We want to make $1 million, want to become a millionaire, we want to be successful, want to be celebrated, we want to be known. These are very, very big dreams, right? So sometimes it's unreasonable for you to have such a big dream and then think of starting small. It feels like a betrayal. It feels like you don't know what you're doing. It feels like, you know, you might not be, it feels like you're afraid. You're afraid of taking on your dreams, your big dreams, right? That's why people start big. They want the action to match the dream. So they start big, right? So why is it necessary to even start small? Does it even make sense to start small at all? Or is starting small for losers, for people who don't believe, or people who don't believe enough in their dreams, people who are not confident, people who are not bold? Is that what starting small is about? So I want us to have that conversation today, right? After all, the name of my company is Small Starter. And even though it looks like I already have a bias, I want to make a logical, straightforward argument for why it makes absolute sense to start small when you're about to start a business. I'm going to make the argument that if you're going to build a foundation for your business, the way to build that foundation is not by coming in with a bang, right? You're more likely going to lose if you do that. I'm going to make an argument, and it appears that nature supports me, because the last time I checked, I've never seen a man who was born a man. All of us were born as babies, right? I've never seen a tree that was born a tree. Every tree starts from a seed. So it appears that nature is on my side, but I want to overlook that. I want to stay on the path of logic. And I want to make that argument today, that is it better to start small or to start big in business? But before I go ahead and launch into my main points, right, I need to set the ground and the basis for this. So many people want to start big. They want to start with a bang. They don't want to start modestly or start small. And like I already explained, I think that this is coming from the big dreams we have, the big visions we have. There's nothing wrong with having big visions and big dreams, right? Your dreams are supposed to be big. They're supposed to be, they're big for a reason. They are big to inspire you. They are big to make you hungry for it. They are big so that you can aspire towards it. That's why dreams are big. If they are not big, they won't make you hungry. They won't be remarkable. That's why dreams are big. But then the contention here is not that your dreams are big. The contention here is that you want to start big. You want to start with a bang. And I think this also draws from what I call the Forbes effect. The Forbes effect. Many of us may know the Forbes magazine that is renowned for publishing a list of the richest and wealthiest people in the world, right? So when you read through the Forbes magazine, it's all glossy. You see these accomplished men and women, wealthy, many of them worth above $1 billion, right? It makes us jealous. It makes us envious. It makes us hungry. It inspires us. We want to be like them. But unfortunately, the downside of the Forbes effect is that it makes us focus more on the end than the beginning. The people you are seeing in the Forbes magazine are already made. They are products of a 10-year journey, a 40-year journey, a 30-year journey, a 20-year journey. So what you see in the magazine is not a process. What you see in the magazine is not the beginning of the journey. What you see in the magazine is a destination. The person has arrived. Now, the mistake you're going to make is to compare yourself to somebody who has arrived. Because the truth is, you're just about to start your journey, or you just recently started your journey. So you cannot compare yourself to that person. That person who has a multi-million dollar manufacturing plant. That person who has a fleet of airlines. You want to start your business and you want to start just like them. The truth is, that's not how they started. When you hear how these guys started, it's very unglamorous. It's not attractive. In fact, sometimes it's shocking that somebody grew from something so little and today they are worth this much, right? So if you are putting yourself in the shoes of somebody who's already arrived, it's important that you reset your mind, because you are comparing apples to grapes. They are not the same thing. And then another reason why I think this happens is that we tend to compare ourselves with others. I can say, for example, that Fred started his business. He started big and it's working for him, right? I can say Jane or Mary started her business big and it's working for them. So why are you telling me that I have to start small? John Paul, it doesn't make sense. My friend started big and has remained that way. Now, unfortunately, every situation is not the same. Every business, as you're about to learn in this episode, is not the same. Every person is different. It's unlikely that Jane or Fred you're telling me about, you have the same knowledge level, experience he or she may have in the business they started. Maybe all you really have in common with them is that you guys are age mates. That's all. Or you went to school together. That's all, right? But every situation is different. Every person is different. And you need to keep this in mind as you compare yourself to other people out there who, in your opinion, have started big. Because don't forget too, it may be that they started small, but you didn't notice. That's the problem with starting small. When you start small, nobody notices. And you are going to find out in this episode why that can be an advantage. But the thing is, you only realize something when it is big. The guys on the Forbes magazine, they only catch our attention because they're big. But when they were small, nobody noticed them, including the Forbes magazine. People only notice you when you arrive. People only notice you when you're big. But nobody asks, where did you come from? So except you want to be carried away by the myth of starting big and starting with a bang, I want to give you the backstory. I want to give you the more or less the inside gist of what essentially goes on or what should go on. So I call these my rules of starting small. And by any means, I'm not saying you must start small, right? You can go ahead and start big. It's your risk. It's your money, right? You can also start small, but sometimes it may not make sense for you to start small, right? It may structurally not make sense for you to start small. So what I'm just going to give you here are guidelines. When does it make sense to start big? When does it make sense to start small? And that's what I want you to pay some attention to. So let's look at the rules of starting small. My first rule is you should start small except you have done it before. Start small except you have done it before. So if you've done it before, you can start big. And let me explain, right? You see, experience and expertise, knowledge and experience are very underrated in business. Sometimes you see a business from the outside and it looks very simple to you. It looks like, oh, this guy is not doing anything special. This lady is not doing anything creative. I can do this business too. Then you go start that business in a big way. And then the harsh reality hits you right smack in the face, right? People tend to underrate the value of experience in business, the value of knowledge in business. There are some things you don't know, some little things you may not know in some businesses that can totally mess you up. They would lead to major loss of capital. They will lead to you losing your shirt. Just one small piece of information, right? So, but that's a benefit that people who have done it before have. They've done it before, either by being an employee in a company that has done this. So I have clients, for example, who worked in a certain industry, say oil and gas, for example. They worked in oil and gas for 15 years. Yeah, they didn't own a company in oil and gas. They were working for somebody else. But in 15 years, they were insiders in that industry. They understand the industry. They have experience in that industry. So if this guy pulls out and is trying to start his own business on the side, it's unlikely it will pay him to start small, especially if it's like the same kind of job he was doing when he was an employee. So he's done it before. He has the experience. He has the expertise. Although sometimes there can be some difference, right? The experience you have as an employee might be a totally different experience than that you need when you want to be an entrepreneur or a business owner in that industry. Because on one hand, you were just an employee. You were just earning a salary. And you only knew the technical part of that business. That's what your employer got you to do, the technical work. But the moment you decide to start a business, you also need to learn the business side of the business. Every business has two sides. There's the technical side, which is where the product or the services come from. And there's the business side, the sales, the marketing, the pricing, the strategy, the customer acquisition. All these things you may not know as an employee in a technical department. Because you were not in sales, you were not in accounting, you were not in business development. These are skills you will need to learn later. So I want you to take what I've just said as a relative concept. Start small, except you have done it before. But make sure that the experience is relevant. Technical experience may not be good enough. You need to also have the business experience. So in that way, you can either start small so you can learn the business side, or you can start big if you find somebody who is experienced on the business side of that business you're about to start. You can partner with them because you're the technical person, and then you guys can launch, right? So why I'm saying this is that some people think that optimism is enough. They just say, I'm going to start big. You know, I'm optimistic. I'm very positive. This thing is going to work out for me. I can see it. You see, the market doesn't care about your optimism. The market will do what it wants to do. So that's why it's like you saying, I'm optimistic. You know, I'm really positive about this. And then you go put your hand into boiling water, right? Boiling water doesn't care about your optimism. It doesn't care about your positivity. Boiling water is going to do what boiling water knows how to do best. It will burn you, right? So that's exactly how you have to treat a business. Somebody who is experienced will not put their hand into boiling water. They know what it can do. Why? They've seen what it can do to somebody else, or they've experienced it before firsthand. So they won't do that. They already have measures in place for handling that boiling water. But because you're ignorant and you're optimistic, you just come straight in and you dive right into the boiling water. The boiling water, like I said, doesn't care about your optimism. It will do what boiling water does. It's going to burn you. So you should never underrate the importance of experience and expertise in any new business that you're trying to go into. I have several examples. Let me share a couple. Let me just share one with you. My younger brother has his own company. He's into the agricultural production. So he has his background, educational background. He has a first degree in agricultural economics. He has a second degree, master's in agricultural economics. So he was about to start his fish farm, right? So he was starting the business. How complicated can he be? This is somebody who has the theoretical knowledge. And then he launched the business. He funded the business. He got his first stock of fish, and then he started. Now, the problem or the mistake that he did was he overstocked the ponds. So there is a specification for how many fish should be inside the pond. But of course, he has a technical experience, or he has the technical knowledge, but he went ahead and overstocked the pond. What happened? It led to massive mortality, massive deaths of the fish, massive losses. And most of that first harvest, they were all losses, right? Now, that money was lost because he started big with the volume of fish. I think it was about 6,000 fish. Meanwhile, he should have started with about 2,000 or 1,500, right? That led to a loss. Now, to you, that might not be a big loss, but to somebody who had just had a major chunk of his startup capital just go to waste, that was a major lesson learned. That was a major lesson learned. This kind of experience can easily happen to somebody who has spent most of their money building an office, buying equipment, buying a warehouse, only for them to find out that they don't even need 90% of what they have bought. And the reason they made that mistake is that they didn't know. They were ignorant. They were just too optimistic. They didn't ask questions. They wanted to start big. But what if they started small? What if they rented the warehouse instead of buying the warehouse? What if they rented the land or leased the land instead of buying the land? What if they committed $50,000 instead of $50 million, right? So these are some of the mistakes that people make. But to give you a real life example, some people might say, for example, rich people are doing it. Aliko Dangote, Africa's richest man, is building one of Africa's biggest refineries in Nigeria, right? The cost of that project is almost $14 billion. 14 billion with a B, right? $14 billion. This is the first time he is going into the refinery business. Aliko Dangote, right? This is the first time he's going to the refinery business. So on the outside, you look at it and say, but Dangote is starting big, right? He's starting big. And you're saying start small. Why is he not starting small? Now, there are a couple of things you're missing out. Dangote is already a trusted name in delivering major projects. He did it for cement. He's done it in fertilizer. He's done it in sugar. So when it comes to manufacturing, he's very experienced. You know, the only difference here is that he's going to be manufacturing refined petroleum products. But he's been refining cement for a long time. He's been refining sugar. He's been refining salt. He's been manufacturing fertilizer. He's very experienced in manufacturing. He's a manufacturing, more or less, genius, if you go by all his other businesses. So if he's going into petroleum refinery, there is a reason why all these banks have given him that money, because they believe that it is less risky to give that money to a Dangote than to somebody who says, I believe I can become a billionaire. I believe I can build a refinery. You've never built a plant before. You've never been in manufacturing. And all of a sudden, you ought to start with a bank. Nobody's going to touch you. You're very risky. But Dangote can do it because he has the experience. So that's it for the first rule. Start small, except you have done it before. The second rule I have is to start small if the risk is high or unknown. If you're going to start a business and the risk is high or the risk is unknown. So for example, you don't know what you don't know. Some people come up and say, you know what, John Paul, there's this new business. Nobody is doing it. Nobody has done it before. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make $100 million from this business. I just take a break and I go and give myself a really good laugh, right? Because do you think you're so special and so creative that nobody has done this before? That could actually be a sign that some people may have tried it and they failed, right? So it might not really be good news that nobody's doing it. It's actually a flag for you to be more careful. You need to be more cautious if nobody's doing it, right? So, and then you haven't done this thing before. Nobody's doing it. You haven't done it before, and you want to be the first. You want to be the first person, right? I'm not sure if you've heard of the concept of the monkey, the cat paw, or the sacrificial lamb. You might be the sacrificial lamb, upon which other people are going to learn from your experience and walk into that industry and make the money you thought you were going to make. So it's usually very common that when you are going into a business that the risk is high or the risk is unknown, you need to be careful. And one of the ways to be careful is to start small. There's an African proverb that says, you don't walk into a river with your 2 feet. You don't know if there's mud at the bottom of that river. You don't know how deep that river is. You don't know if there's a crocodile waiting on the bank of that river. And you just go straight in into a river you have never crossed before. Into a river that there's nobody around to ask, is this river deep? Is it bad? Can I go in my 2 feet? You just say, I'm very positive. I'm very confident. I'm very optimistic. And you go in with your 2 feet. That is ignorance. That is stupidity. The right way to do it is to start with 1 foot. That's what the African proverb says. You don't jump into a river with your 2 feet, especially if it's a river you are not familiar with. You go in with 1 foot, and then based on the experience with that 1 foot, you can then decide to commit your other foot or to pull out the committed foot, right? So when the risk is high or when the risk is unknown, you have to tread with caution. And that's because some businesses are more risky than others. So for that person who says, but my friend started a business, he started it big, you know, and he's doing well, why shouldn't I start my own big? Not all businesses are the same. A manufacturing business is very different from a hotel business. A restaurant business is very different from a fashion business. A consulting business is very different from a contracting business. Every business is different. That's because every industry is different. That's because the behavior of buyers and sellers in every market is different. That's because the forces of demand and supply behave differently in almost every market, right? So you need to be careful if you're walking into a new business that has either high risk. So if it's high risk, it's because it's established that everybody knows that this is high risk. Or for me, the more dangerous one is the business that has unknown risk. You don't know what you don't know. That for me, that's more dangerous because you don't know what can surprise you. So these high risk or unknown risk can typically come up when you're trying to do one of three things. It's either you're trying to get into a new market. A new market will always come with its own risks because it's a new market. You don't know the market. You don't know how the consumers in that market behave. You don't know what the behaviors are in that market of the suppliers and the distributors. You don't know how you can get your raw materials, all the surprises in that market. If you're going into a new market, be careful. Start small. If you are going to start off with a new product, start small. You can assume that because customers liked your first product, they will like your second product. Guess what? You may be wrong. And the market doesn't care because the market would always do what the market will do. So you may be wrong. Even big companies like Coca-Cola have fallen into this trap before. There was a new Coke that Coke released, should have been in the 90s or 80s, right? Coca-Cola had a successful product, the Coke, Coca-Cola, and they decided to launch a new type of Coke. How did that work out? Not very well, because people didn't like the taste. They felt it was too different from the original Coke, and it didn't work. If it can happen to Coke, then who are you, right? If it can happen to Coke, who are you? So if you're starting a new product, you need to start small. Figure out if it is something your customers will want to buy. Do your tests beforehand. It's going to be in a totally different episode where I can share with you some of the strategies about how you can find out what your market really wants. But the caution here is, if it's a new product that people have not bought before, whatever level of confidence you have, you need to be humble in the way you approach it. Because if you commit a lot of money to it, if you go in big, it may wreck you, right? Another thing too you should watch out for, if it's a new strategy. So you've been doing something a certain way, and now you want to change into a new way. You can't just assume that the new way will work, right? Because it's new. You have to start small. You have to incrementally apply the new approach, apply the new strategy, because you may be wrong. It may not work. So those are three areas I want you to look at: a new market, a new product, a new strategy. In these areas, the risk may be high or the risk may be unknown. When the risk is high or the risk is unknown, you are safer starting small. So that way, if you make any mistakes or if you're wrong, you will not be wiped out. Now, let's move on to the third rule. The third rule is to start small if you need to be efficient with capital, right? Capital, capital, capital. It's the most popular topic with entrepreneurs who are trying to start a business. I need to raise capital. Nobody wants to give me capital. I need 1 million in capital. I don't have enough capital. I think I have too much capital. Capital, capital, capital. So the thing about starting big is that you commit all the money that you have. Because you're starting with a bank, you commit a lot of money to advertising, commit a lot of money to your state-of-the-art website. You buy vehicles for all your employees. You hire some of the smartest people. You know, pay them high salaries. That's what happens when you start big, right? And one reason this happens is that in my experience, I've been working with entrepreneurs now for more than a decade, right? What I found is that many people tend to underestimate how much capital they need to start a business. On top of that, they tend to underestimate how long that capital will last. So you think you might need $100,000 to start a business. You start the business and then it gradually starts to dawn on you that that money you thought would be enough is actually too small. It happens all the time. Happens all the time. So another thing I found out is that people who start with a lot of money, it's like when you start a race, you are very energetic at the beginning of that race. You think you're going to finish this marathon. You're going with all the energy, all the confidence, all the optimism. And then gradually into the race, it starts to dawn on you that, you know, I'm getting tired. This energy might not be enough. I'm in trouble. I need water. I'm dehydrated. I'm this, I'm that. That's exactly how it happens in business, right? So people who tend to start with a lot of money, they tend to overspend and they are less frugal. They spend a lot on vanity items. A wonderful website. They get an expensive developer to build a website that has a shopping platform, has checkout integrated with PayPal. But all those things, they may not need them now. But they spend things on things that are nice to have. They are just nice to have. But you don't necessarily need them. So you tend to spend things on things you want, not things you need. That's a mistake when you start with a bank. You start with a lot of capital. So you spend things on your business card, your car. I'm not saying a business card is not necessary, right? But when you know what your priorities are, you won't spend money on a business card compared to spending money to get your first customer or your first 10 customers. Which one is more important? Printing wonderful business cards or getting your customers? So is that priority that's misplaced? And usually that priority is misplaced because you have a lot of money to play with. So what happens is you tend to spend money, you know, on things that may not really matter, on things that are nice to have. You get an office space that is more expensive than you really need, that has more space than you actually need, you know, stuff like that. So that's what tends to happen. And what unfortunately happens is that when you look at the stats, the number of businesses that fail, a large proportion of them fail because they run out of money. I think the number is about 30%. This is based on research. Postmortem on failed businesses by CB Insights. It's a top research firm, and they focus a lot on startups, right? So up to 30% of businesses that fail because they run out of capital. And that's very unfortunate, right? Because these businesses failed not because the ideas were not solid, not because they didn't have good products, not because they didn't have intelligent people. They failed because they ran out of money. Can you imagine that? It's like you have a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce, beautiful car, expensive car. You want to take that car to a wedding to impress your friends. It's a beautiful car. You spent a lot of money on this car. And guess what? You're on your way to that wedding and the car stops on the road. It's not the engine. It's not the chassis. It's not the transmission. It's not the brake. Guess what? You've run out of fuel. Can you imagine that? You've run out of fuel. That is embarrassing on many levels. That's exactly what happens to these businesses. They start with a lot of money. They start with a bank. They spend a lot of money on things that they don't need. And then they run out of gas. And then they crash. Very unfortunate, but it's true. It's the reality. At least I owe you that as somebody who listens to the Small Starter Business Podcast. So the mistake that people make is they underestimate the value of operational cash flow. When you start with a lot of capital, you're spending money on capital items. You are buying things. That's what it means. You are buying things. You are buying office space. You are buying equipment. You are buying cars. You're just buying stuff like somebody who just won the lottery. But the cash flow that deals with you is the operational cash flow. Money for internet access. Money to pay employee salaries. Money for your marketing campaign. Money to keep the lights on. These are day-to-day expenses that some people do not make enough arrangements for. So you have the office space. It's a beautiful office space, but you cannot pay your employees. And that's because most of your capital is tied in the building. You bought a building that you didn't need to buy. You would have done well if you just rented that building for 1 or 2 years. Instead, you bought the entire building. So are you in the real estate business or are you in the tech business? You see? So for a tech company that buys the building, you spent all that money buying the building, but you don't have money to pay your developers, pay your customer service reps, you're losing customers, people are complaining, you see? It can be a very messy situation. So what's the gist here? The gist is start small if you want to be efficient with capital. When you start small, you are more frugal with capital. You only spend on things you really need. You don't have the luxury of spending on vanity items. You are much more logical in the way you spend. You're not spending to impress somebody. You're not spending to inflate your ego. You are spending for the business to survive because you really understand what this is about. This is not about going to the wedding in a Rolls Royce. This is about going to the wedding in a car that has enough fuel to get you to the destination. You know that this is about getting to the destination, not about starting in style or going in style. It's about getting to the destination. So if you get that, you're going to manage your financial resources. You're going to be very sensible in the way you spend your money. You'll only spend money on things that you actually need. Up until a point where you are in cash flow positive territory, where the business is now making enough money from sales that you can now start buying all those things that you want. That's a mistake that people make. The goal is to get to the destination. And the destination is that point where the money you are making from sales of your products to your customers is bringing in enough cash that you cannot buy all those sweet things you want to buy. You get a posh website, you hire new people, get new office space, buy anything you want because the customers are financing your business. The goal is to get to a point where your customers are the ones financing your business, not investor money, not the bank loan. Right? I just hope that it gets me quite angry sometimes because these entrepreneurs should know more, but they end up making these rookie mistakes. So that's it for the third rule. The fourth rule is start small if you want to fly below the radar of your competitors. Very, very important point. So many people underestimate the threat of strong competitors. Sometimes they tell you, nobody's doing this. There's nobody doing this. And in that situation, it's ignorance. Because when you really look at it, somebody else is doing it. But the guy hasn't noticed because he's underestimating the competition. But you can't underestimate the competition. You can't just allow somebody come in and take your lunch. Nobody's going to take that. That's exactly how your competitor feels. Any new player who comes in is coming to take my lunch. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to defend myself. Because I was here before you. You are a usurper. You are a stranger. You are a new person. You're a rookie. I'm not going to allow you come on my turf, right? I'm going to defend myself. I will defend myself. I'm going to protect my customers. I will protect my sales. I'll protect my employees. It's warfare, right? It is a battle. So you can't just walk into a new market and expect that people are going to open their arms and embrace you. That's not how it works. So the thing is, a new player or a new entrant into any market is more vulnerable than the existing players. The existing players already have some experience in that market. They've been doing the business for quite some time, and you're just coming in, right? Who the hell do you think you are? You think they're just going to keep quiet? No. So, but when you start small, you can sneak into a market. That's the benefit of starting small, especially if it's a market that has stiff competition or big players in the competition. By going in small, two things will happen. One, the existing competitors may not notice you, which is a good thing for you. Because when they don't notice you, you have the freedom to stand on your feet and start to gather intelligence on the market and start to get your first customers and start to gain traction. That's one. So if you start small, they may not notice you. The second is that they may notice you, but they may underestimate you, which is quite common. When you're a big company and you see a small player, you're not threatened by it because it's just a small player. So rather than go after it, you just ignore it. And sometimes this can be to your advantage. It's better for you to be ignored so that you can gradually build yourself in the market, so that by the time you are big enough, it will be impossible to just kick you out of the market, because by then you would have built your roots into the ground, right? So that's a very important point. Gaining traction is very important, but to gain traction in the market, you need time. You are going to be destabilized if you have big competitors coming after you. And there are different ways they can come after you. There are different ways they can frustrate you as a new player in the market. You don't need that kind of tension. You don't need that kind of stress. So if you start small, you can evade all those troubles while you gain ground gradually in stealth mode, right? Like a sniper. You are there, they are not noticing you, but you're gaining some ground. So one example would be WhatsApp, right? WhatsApp was acquired by Facebook. $19 billion, right? WhatsApp was a social media platform that came out of nowhere. Nowhere. So for example, WhatsApp, yes, built in the US, but WhatsApp was not growing in the US. It was growing in places like India, in Africa. That's where WhatsApp was being used. And the big giants like Facebook and Twitter did not even notice WhatsApp. They didn't even think it was a threat. It was people in third world countries who were using WhatsApp. But guess what? At a point, Facebook realized that if we do not acquire WhatsApp, it's going to be a threat. And they acquired WhatsApp. $19 billion, I think. That was the acquisition price. So there are benefits in sneaking up on your competitors. They see you, you look small, you don't look intimidating, you're not threatening, so they ignore you. Ignoring you is a gift because it gives you the chance to gradually grow, acquire market share, grow your sales, grow your cash flow before you decide to show your face. So that's one interesting thing. We also have a client right now. I'm not sure I have his permission to mention the name of the business, but the lesson is important. He's a member of our insiders program. We were having a session and we were talking about expansion, you know, how to expand. The business is doing well, but it has only a couple of customers, just a few customers. And I remember asking the question, why don't you want to do some marketing, get your name out there? And he said, no, we don't want to do that now, because if we do that, we would make ourselves visible to our competitors who didn't know that we existed, and visible to the regulators, for example, right? So because it's in this regulatory gray area, so they don't want to force the hand of the regulators. So you can imagine that I was discussing with the entrepreneur of a business that is doing well, but he does not want the business to do any marketing or advertising. He doesn't want the business to show its face because it will be a strategic disadvantage. So what they are doing is they are hiding below the radar, and they are growing. It's amazing how much work and growth they have experienced, right? So that just to tell you that when you realize the power of starting small, you start to see some of the benefits that can come from it. So let's now talk about the fifth rule I have about starting small, and that is, you should start small if you need to be nimble and recover from mistakes. Now, the thing is, the bigger the mistake you make, or the bigger the hit you take as a startup, the harder it will be for you to recover. If your business is young, you're just starting, and you're taking hits, you're losing money, you're making mistakes, the bigger the mistakes you make, the harder it will be for you to recover. And that is one of the biggest weaknesses that starting big comes with. When you start big, you can make big mistakes, and those big mistakes can kick you out of business. Unfortunately, that's what can happen to you. And then the bigger you start, the harder it is to make corrections and be flexible. I talked about this when I used the metaphor of building a house. The foundation stage is very critical, because any mistakes you make at the foundation stage, it might be almost impossible or very expensive to correct those mistakes up later on, right? So when you start big, it's difficult for you to be flexible. You can't really react as much as you would. Starting big locks in your destiny. So for example, if you decide to start big and buy office space in a certain area of town, and then you started a business only to discover that, wow, my market research was wrong. This location is actually the wrong location for this business. But guess what? You've already committed most of your capital into buying that property, buying that land, or buying that equipment. You are not as flexible because you have bought it. Now, compare that to somebody who started small and didn't have the money to buy the property. Instead, they rented. They rented the space for 1 year, or they rented the equipment. Of course, you know that it's easy to get out of a rental situation than of a situation where you have already bought the thing. One person, the person who started small, who is renting, is more flexible than you who has gone ahead to buy. So that is the downside of starting big. When you start big, you lock in your destiny. You become a sitting target. You become a sitting duck. But then when you start small, you are flexible, you are nimble, you can change your mind, you can make corrections, you can learn from your lessons and still be in the game. But if you're big, some lessons may be too expensive to learn from. You make those mistakes, you're out. So very, very important you keep that in mind. So at this point, let's recap. I talked about the five rules. I talked about the five rules to keep in mind when you want to start a business. And this question is coming from that question of, is it better to start small or start big? I'm not saying you should not start big. All I'm saying is you should consider these rules before you make the decision to start big. The first is, start small, except you've done it before. If you've done it before, you have the benefit of hindsight, you have the benefit of experience, market knowledge, and skills. Of course, it pays you to start big if you have the funds for it. The second rule is to start small if the risk is high or if the risk is unknown. And I give three examples of situations where the risk may be high or the risk may be unknown. In fact, I told you that I'm more scared of situations where the risk is unknown because I don't know what I don't know. I'm more scared of that situation than a situation where the risk is high. So in those kind of situations, for example, a new market, you're going to a new market, you're trying to release a new product, or you're trying to implement a new strategy, you need to be careful. You need to take a graduated approach, an incremented approach, a step-by-step approach, rather than going all in, guns blazing, right? The third rule I talked about is to start small if you need to be efficient with capital. I mentioned that people tend to underestimate how much capital they need to start a business and how much capital, especially they tend to underestimate how much capital they need to remain in business. So the goal is not about starting with a bank. The goal is to get to the destination. And the destination is a point where your business is being financed by your customers. Your business is being financed by the sales of your products or services, right? So the goal is not to start with a Rolls Royce. I gave you that analogy. You may decide to go for a friend's wedding and you want to go in a Rolls Royce. You spend a lot of money buying the Rolls Royce. But unfortunately, you don't make it to the wedding because you run out of fuel. And it's very embarrassing because you have a Rolls Royce. It's a lot of money compared to the fuel. In fact, the fuel is nothing compared to the cost of a Rolls Royce. But unfortunately, you didn't make it to the destination because you didn't have fuel. This is exactly what happens to a lot of people. They start with a bang. They start with a flash. They're in the media. They announce themselves. And then 2 years down the line, they're out of business. And that's because one of the biggest reasons why businesses fail, startups fail, is they run out of money. Can you imagine that? It's unfortunate. It's not the idea. It's not the product. It's not the intelligence of the people. It's not the market. They just ran out of money. So you need to be careful about that. The fourth rule I talked about is to start small if you want to fly below the radar of your competitors. Sometimes it is in your best interest to be ignored. It is in your best interest to be invisible, right? You may be in some markets where the biggest mistake you can make is to underrate your competition, your competitors. You do that, they can easily crush you. They can easily frustrate you. As a new business, as a startup, you don't need that kind of tension. You don't need that kind of stress. You don't need that kind of attention, right? So sometimes it can pay you to fly below the radar. And I use the example of WhatsApp and one of the members of our insiders program. And then the fifth rule I talked about is to start small if you need to be nimble and recover from mistakes. There are sometimes in business where you just need to be nimble. And you may have done your market research, you may have done all that, but it's only when you start a business that you start to find out that you were wrong in some things. Even though you did your market research, you were wrong. Maybe your location was wrong. Maybe you decided to target the wrong market. Maybe your sales strategy is flawed, right? But if you started with a bang, you've spent a lot of money in it, it's difficult to take that correction. it's so expensive to learn from that lesson because it's costing you a lot of money. So that's where there can be a downside. When you're too big, the mistakes you make can be your downfall, right? So at this point in the episode, so Quezza is a platform for African entrepreneurs, small and medium-sized businesses that are looking for foreign markets. You're looking for customers on the other side of the world, either within African markets or outside of Africa. So we're seeing people who, for example, are selling honey from Cameroon and they're selling it to customers in the US. So you can imagine that the price you can sell your honey for, that's just one example. The price you can sell the honey for in your country might be limited. But by the time you sell outside your country, you have the opportunity to earn foreign exchange. You have the opportunity to even charge more for your products and services. So Quezza is has opened the doors to small and medium-sized businesses that sell interesting, unique, and innovative products. It gives you the opportunity to sell it beyond your country's borders. You can sell it to customers in other African countries, or you can sell it to customers in Europe, in America, in Canada, and in countries like the UK, France, and all that. And we're also seeing people exporting to markets in the Middle East. So this is a great opportunity for anybody who is looking to grow their business, to expand their business, get new customers, diversify your risk. For example, it gives you the opportunity to earn foreign exchange, gives you the opportunity of better pricing. So to check out Quezza, the best way to do that is to download the app, right? And there are two apps. If you're a seller, you have something to sell, you're looking for foreign markets, download the Quezza app. Download the Quezza seller app. It's Quezza, K-U-U-E-Z-A. Download the Quezza seller app. And if you are a user, you're looking to explore the products that are available in other African markets, in other places, check out the Quezza user app, Quezza user. So you download the Quezza user app. Quezza, all you just do is browse what you're looking for and you check out. Quezza handles all the logistics. We have seen people exporting products from Ghana to the US, Ghana to Canada, from Nigeria to South Africa. You don't have to bother about the logistics. You don't have to bother about how your product will get there. You just follow the instructions and Quezza will make everything happen in the background. So I'm looking forward to very great news about what this company is going to do for the African market. And at this point in the episode, there are four things I need you to consider. The first is to join the Insiders Program. Tell your friends about this podcast. And like I said about the Insiders Program, right? We've had several different people who have shown up and they say, John Paul, I have this business idea I'm very passionate about. I have the capital for it. This is how I want to start, right? I can't remember how many people I've saved from making that kind of mistake. They were about to enter a market with a bank. They wanted to start big. And just because we had that strategy conversation, I was able to save them a lot of money in losses. I was able to save them from the disappointment of failure. And today they're on a better path. Because when you start small, you are more organic. You're more natural. Like I said in the beginning, that's how nature works. Every big thing you see started small. From trees, even buildings, right? Buildings started from a foundation to blocks to sand. Everything starts small. So I prefer to keep things organic because that's where you learn better. You have to wait 9 months to have a baby, right? You can't have 9 pregnant women so that you can have a baby in 1 month. That's not how it works. You have to do the time. And that's the benefit of starting small, because it gives you the opportunity to learn, and then you grow, you make mistakes. Those mistakes are not big enough to kick you out of business, and then you recover, you know, and stuff like that. So that's the big benefit of doing things like this. So to learn more about the Insiders community, the Insiders are a group of entrepreneurs who are building businesses in different countries within and outside the African continent, right? So we learn together, we collaborate, we do sessions together, we learn from each other's mistakes and stuff like that. And like I always say, there is no one course, there's no one event, there's no one training program that will make you a better entrepreneur. Entrepreneurship is a lifestyle. It's something that happens to you every day. So that's why I'm very particular about the kind of community you belong to, the kinds of people you listen to and who listen to you. Because as social animals, we tend to take a lot from each other. So the quality of your network determines how well you will do as an entrepreneur. So I'm inviting you to become a member of the Insiders program. Learn more about the Insiders at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it's smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I want you to do is to tell your friends about this podcast, right? The quality of information you're getting here is high grade and it's free. You're not paying for anything here. So the only way to say thank you is to tell your friends about the Small Starter Business Podcast. Let them Google it, the Small Starter Business Podcast, and they're going to find us on the search engines. There's a backlog of over, 70 episodes you can listen to. We touch everything from how to find great business ideas to startup strategy, how to raise money, how to find customers, all sorts of things, how to turn around the business, how to find the right people, how to hire and keep the right people, all sorts of topics. So the only way to become a better entrepreneur is to actually act on what you learn. So the more people who learn about these important aspects of business, the better the quality of businesses we can build. And of course, I would implore you to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a 5-star review. With a 5-star review, you make it easy for other people to find the Small Starter Business Podcast. You can leave us a review at smallstarter.com/review. Again, make it a point to check out the Insiders, right? If it weren't good, most of the great stuff you're hearing on the podcast is coming from the Insiders. They are coming from the interactions, from the conversations I'm having with people who are in there. And if you're serious about building your business, you're serious about growing, then check out the Small Starter Business. Check us out at the Insiders at smallstarter.com/insiders. So until the very next episode, do not forget that little metaphor, that little story I told you about. Starting a business is not about being glamorous. You can decide to start in a way that looks like you want to arrive in a limousine. You want to arrive in a Rolls Royce. Don't forget, the Rolls Royce is not a problem, right? Most times, your biggest problem will be that you run out of fuel. That will be your problem. And that will be very embarrassing because you are running out of fuel in a Rolls Royce. That means even somebody on a bicycle will get to the destination before you. So it's not about how you start. It's about getting to the destination. And don't forget what the destination is. The destination is that point in your business where most of the cash flow in your business is not coming from the bank as a loan. It's not coming from external investors, but most of the cash in your business is coming from your customers. When your customers start financing your business, then you can go shopping. You know why? Because your customers will never, unlike the banks or investors, your customers will never ask for their money back. As long as you satisfy your customers, they will never ask for their money back. And that's the kind of money you can use to buy what you want. Because nobody will ask you for that money back. But if you're using the bank's money or your investor's money, watch out. You just might be in trouble. Until the very next episode, stay safe, remain optimistic. Cheers. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.